And how can you
Blog
be a blessing to him? Because he is our blesser. He's going to bless us. Amen. Regardless, amen. But what has he given us that we can give back to him, which is our life, our soul, right? Amen. Our time, praise God. And then we talked about the walking in the light of the finished product. Amen. Philippians rather 4:6-7 says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and mind through Jesus Christ. That's Philippians 4:6-7. We have to act as if in our faith and our time in God, we have to act as if it's already happened. We got to remember now, we talked about last week the Shunammite woman. Her son had already died, but because she had faith to believe that the man of God, because the man of God spoke that son to her, and she had faith to believe that if she could just get the man of God to come, and everything was going to be all right. Her son would live again. Amen? And so we have to have that kind of faith in the power of God and his ability not only to do what the Bible says he'll do, but act through his man and through his woman. Amen. A man or a woman of God, amen, or what the conduits of the power of God. God uses them. Amen. Praise God. So when they're really sincerely sold out to God and walking in holiness, we have to trust that what the Lord spoke through them shall and will come to pass. When God give us a word of knowledge or a word of hope, we expect it to happen right then, you know, and sometimes it do happen right then, but if it don't, we get discouraged. Well, faith says, I'm going to wait forever, if it takes forever. Amen? I'm going to wait to eternity if it takes to eternity because I know that my God shall and will do exactly what he said. Juanita Bynum came up with the song that the Lord gave her, I Don't Mind Waiting. And it's sad to say, but Christians call themselves children of God, do mind waiting. They want a microwave God. They want him, you know, right now, God, if you don't do it right now, I've got, you know, have other alternatives. I'll go find Jody or Sally or somebody, you know, anybody to do it if you don't do it. So, you know, do you mind waiting? And so she said it was well. So we have to live as if it's only a matter of time before it's answered, before the answers come. We have to live. It is well. Faith says it is well. You're not lying and you're not talking foolishness, but you're telling everything else that's contrary to the power of God that it is well. Because I told the Lord about it, it's worked out. I'm not even worried about it. He gonna fix it. Even if he don't fix it the way you want him to fix it, you put it in his hands, he's gonna do what's best for you. Amen. Right? Amen. Because he knows better. Your part is to discover God's will, to surrender and to wait on his timing. Bishop always says that God does not have a time clock, only we do. So we need to stop using our mental stopwatch is what we have. Soon as we pray, we get up and hit the button and start the clock, start ticking. Hello, we give God time. If we don't do it in that amount of time, we hit the button and stop and it's not done, then we go fix it ourselves. And as soon as we mess it up, then we know we're on our knees or we're coming for the man or woman to pray it off of us, but we brought it to ourselves. Now we want God to work something out and fix it because I done messed it up. I didn't give him time. We have to trust God because everything and everyone else will not always be there for you, and they will no doubt give us. Amen? There are things in our lives and situations that occur in life that only God can deliver us from. I don't care who you call. I don't care what kind of dust you're sprinkling. I don't care who name you call out. There are some things that happens in our lives that it's going to take God to deliver us from. I don't care what kind of bill is passed, what kind of legislative law is passed. I don't care who is in charge of the state or the country. It's going to take God to move some of the stuff that goes on around us, right? Amen. Some things are so devastating that we get sick just thinking about them. We don't always talk about them, but we just think about them, how devastating they are. You feel embarrassed to share them with anyone, so you keep them all bottled up inside of you until one day you explode and do something that makes the whole matter worse. Take, for instance, Robin Williams. They say he committed suicide because he was depressed. People don't understand that rich folk get depressed. Politicians are depressed. Actors and actresses, singers, musicians, they get depressed. They are so into this. Everybody, they got to be right there for everybody. All eyes are on them. They have problems that they have to contain within themselves. People spread rumors about them, and then they do stupid stuff. Sometimes they make stupid decisions and do ridiculous stuff and bring things upon themselves, and their whole life is under a microscope. And there are things that they have to deal with so they contain within themselves. It's just a shame that nobody came to him and told him about the deliverer. Amen. It's just a shame that he didn't come. Maybe he did. I don't know. I hope he did. Come in contact with somebody who knew Jesus that could get him out of the situation again. Because something so devastating that will make you take your life, I mean, that your life is no good. Your life, we're fashioned and made in the image of God. Our life is precious. We have the breath of God on the inside of us. We're not just breathing our own breath and just to take it, to kill, to murder your own self. It's bad enough taking somebody else's life and then take your own life. You know? So here it is, you destroyed a soul, your own soul. God give us one soul to be really responsible for, and we can't even keep that one in check with him. And so we don't know what happened with him. This thing could have been so devastating, but I don't know. And there are people that's going through the same thing. People are in the midst of depression right now, and they don't talk about it. They don't discuss it. They keep to themselves, and all kind of thoughts go through their head. One young lady called me and said, you know what, a pastor said, it's so bad, so I feel like I'm going to do something to myself. And I said, the devil is a liar. I rebuke the spirit of suicide in the name of Jesus. That will not happen. Things get bad, but God will bring us out of them. Oh, I'm telling you, if folk know the devastation stuff that I've been through, I'm telling you, you just have to stand firm. Cry if you have to. Then blow your nose, wash your face, and keep it moving. It don't matter. Cry, scream, holler, shout, kick over a few chairs. But then get back up and pull yourself together and move on, because you will get past this. This will pass. Whatever it is, it will pass, but you got to let go and let it. Trusting God is like when your child walk into your house and they hit the light switch. If there's a light switch on the wall, they hit the light switch and it comes on. They don't wait and say, okay, let me see if this light gonna come on, if it's gonna work or not. They hit it and they keep moving. They don't worry. They leave the worrying up to you. They expect the light to come on. Hit it, flip, keep going. There ain't no looking back. So they leave that up to you. So when we trust God, when we hit that light switch, we're not supposed to look back. We're supposed to keep walking, because just like that child trusts mommy and daddy to have done their part to pay the bill, to make sure the light's on, we got to trust God to do the part, whatever it is that we need him to do. Hello? That he's going to do whatever it takes. When you trust him, you ain't going to pause. Okay, I prayed. Let me see. Okay, let me hang in there. Wait a minute. Let me see if God's going to do something right now. We don't pause. We just keep it moving. You get up and you glorify him and you give him praise. You done asked him. You done spoke to him concerning it. Now you worship him. And you worship him and you worship him and you worship him with all that you have, all on the inside of you. Glory to God. Amen. Begin to glorify him. That says, I have faith and I trust that God is going to work my situation out. And whatever you do, however you do it, Lord, because one thing we know, God knows us better than we know ourselves, and he knows what's best for us. So if he work it out, he's going to work it out for us on our behalf, but he's going to do it his way. Hello? And it may not be what you want. Because you down there praying and crying, you know, for payments on that Cadillac, and that got repossessed. And then you get up there, now you know what I prayed and asked God not to let them repossess my Cadillac, and it's gone. And then now you don't have no Cadillac, you ain't got or Mercedes or whatever it is, them high payment cars, the higher payment, Mercedes, BMWs, and all them kind of, you wanted this so bad, you got it, you can't pay for it. Now they possess, you got up praying, now listen to me, you got up praying, and now they repossessed it anyhow, so now you're upset, you're mad at God. Why? God did not go buy that car for you. You went out and bought it yourself. Knew that you was making pinto money, but you go out and buy a Mercedes Benz. Who's going to pay for it? Now he's on your table. He's in your closet. Hello. He's in all your other bills. He's on your children's closet and their stomach and their belly. That car is taken away from everything. You're miserable. You're depressed. You're running and hiding in the car. You're scared that every light comes by, they will repossess things. Tell me about it. Isn't that right? So now you all tore all up, and you got a nerve to pray for God not to let them take that car. Drive it on the lot and give it to them. You can't pay for it. I made a mistake. I can't pay for this car. Here, you take it back. Do whatever you need to do. I can't pay for it. So don't pray for him to give you something that you can't handle, because he ain't. It won't happen. And so here you are. Now you get up. You're mad because you go out there and now that you done prayed and prayed and prayed. You fasted for 2 weeks because you knew it was coming. So I've been fasting for 2 weeks and praying every day, going to church, going on my knees every day, having prayer meeting, on the prayer meeting every day in revivals, and then got prophesied that the Lord ain't going to let nothing happen to my car, and then I get up the next morning and it's gone. Now what? You still trust God. Why? Because God knows what's best for you. And if you want peace of mind, he had to let them take that car from you so you can have some peace of mind. Now you go back to the car lot and you get a Sonata or something and you can afford a Honda or something. You can afford a nice-looking car, very reasonable in price, with AC and everything you need. And you ain't straining every month making payments. The children are still eating and wearing clothes. The light's still on. You're still paying your rent. And you're comfortable. You don't have that headache no more. Hello? Now you can worship God without worrying. But we get upset instead of saying, okay, Lord, it happened, so this evidently was not the car for me. But you knew that before you bought the car. All right. I'm talking to somebody tonight. See, we don't wait situation. We do it because we want it. And we do. I want it, and, you know, I'm going to work this out. Somebody's going to work this out. So we go, and we jump, and we get it. And then now we're stuck with it. So it wasn't no surprise for you when they came and got it. It was just when. Amen. Just a matter of time, Deaconess. So it wasn't, you ain't surprised. It's not like you surprised. You know you weren't surprised. So when we trust God, you hit the light switch, you keep walking, because you trust God, your Father, that he's done exactly what needs to be done to assure that the lights are going to come on and that everything you need is going to be met. He paid the ultimate price. He paid the light bill price with his one and only Son, the light, the true light. It's already taken care of. Your needs are met. So that light ain't going to ever go out. That's guaranteed. Everything in God for us is guaranteed. Hello? Glory to God. Amen. You want a warranty? You have a warranty. The Holy Ghost is your warranty. It'll never, ever wear out. It'll never break. It'll never, ever be destroyed. It's going to always be there just for you. That's your warranty. Hello? And if you want a guarantee in the things of God, get filled with the Holy Spirit. I guarantee you. And the things that you want, your whole mind will change. The thing that we need to understand as children of God is we got to have a mind change. And I keep saying that over and over, but I'll say it till death do me part, because people ain't changing their minds. The mind has to change. It's a mindset. The things of God come in the mind. Whatever is in your mind begin to move your body. And your mind, which is your inner man, has to conform to the things of God. And stop looking for stuff to look and act and sound like what you knew on the other side in God. It won't happen like that. Hello? Amen. So the same faith that got you saved, because you got saved by faith, right? I didn't hear. Then you get saved by faith? Because you don't even know what you got saved for. You don't know who you got saved to. Somebody told you needed to be saved, right? Then you saw in the Bible where if you didn't accept Christ, you know, think you're going to end up in hell, or you will have a miserable life, or you're going to miss God, or whatever the case may be. But now you say by faith, because I don't see it. I don't see God. I don't see Jesus. I don't see the Savior. I read about him. They made their own pictures of Jesus. I don't even really know what he looked like. But by faith, I receive him as my Savior, the Son of the living God. Right? Amen. So it took faith to receive him. It took faith to believe who he was. And so the same faith that got you saved, the same faith is going to bring you through this darkest hour of your life. Whatever it is that you're going through, it's going to take that same faith. You didn't see Jesus. You didn't see the promise, but the word of God said he was and said the promise was. Amen? And you accepted him just because of that. So that's what you're going to do. Your faith should not stand in the wisdom of man. Not because somebody else say, yeah, but you know what? I remember when or the way we really do this. And scientists have proved and, you know, whatever the people are, the rocket scientists, they proved this. And biologists have said this. And geologists have said this, and well, it's impossible, you know, for to speak things and all this kind of nonsense. You can't go by what men say, because they only say what they know, and they only know what God allowed them to know. They don't have the mind of God. God give wisdom and knowledge to those who he wants to have it. And people can say what they want to say. I don't care if they go to Harvard, Brown's, or whatever college they go to. If God did not give the instructor before the instructor, before the instructor, before that instructor, which is the Holy Spirit, if he did not endow them with wisdom and knowledge, the stuff that we do now, we wouldn't know it. Alexander Graham Bell. Hello? The telephone. What the other man name? Benjamin Franklin. Wait, they said a black man invented electricity, though. Yeah, but I know. But they said it was a black man, so I got to research that. He stole it from him. Right, which is not unusual. But all this stuff that God has given us, the wisdom and knowledge, even to weave cloth and material, this wisdom came from God. The Bible said God, the Holy Spirit fell on man and gave them knowledge to do things with cunning things that God wanted to be done. So his spirit gave them the knowledge and understanding. Some people say, well, I'm just generally a genius. No, you're not. All the knowledge, everything come from God. All power come from God. Good and evil. It all comes. Nothing. Satan don't have only the power God gave him. And he only has power so that he can keep us in line, check us. God used him to move us in line. Amen? So he only has the power God gave him. All power that be come from the Lord. So our faith should not stand in the wisdom of men. So stop letting people tell you what you should believe if it don't line up with the word of God. Hello? Our faith should stand in the power of God according to his word and believe him. Believe him. His blood will never, ever lose its power. So don't let your faith lose hope. You won't see this all the time. It's not, don't let what you hope for be seen, because the Bible says it's the evidence of things hoped for and the substance of things not seen. Don't lose your hope. Paul said don't cast away your confidence because they have great repayment of reward. Hang in there. And the reason he said that, because there will come a time when you don't want to give up. How many in there and been there? Well, you just want to just throw in the towel and say, you know what? It ain't for me. It ain't about me. It ain't working for me. But that's when faith steps in and say, hang in there. Hold on. Don't you move. Because there's something that God is trying to teach you in this. Open up your understanding and say, Lord, what is it that you're trying to show me? And some of us already know. Hello? The songwriter was singing my song and strumming my life with his words when he wrote, our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Let your hope, nothing else but the blood of Jesus and the righteousness of Christ. The Bible says he knew no guile. No sin was found in him. Hello? And he said, the work I come to do is the work of my Father. He didn't take God's glory. Although he opened blind eyes and deaf ears and lame walk and all this good stuff and walked on water and filled the sea, but he never took the glory from God. He said, I came to do the work of my Father. I'm doing what God told me to do. This is his work. The power came from him. And every time you went and spent time with God, he'd give us a witness. Say, stand, take the time out to spend time with God. If you want the power, it comes by fasting and prayer. Not by coming to church every now and then. If you want the power to overcome all those obstacles that the enemy will put in your way, you need to fast and pray. Our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame. I don't care how it sounds, how good it is, how sweet it tastes, or how good he look, or how fine she is. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. I'm standing under the name of power in the name of Jesus. There's power in the name. Sometimes you can't pray, but you can say, Jesus. You're surprised how things start. Demons are afraid of that name. Folks don't even understand the power when they use that name. Some folks, I get very upset when I hear people use the name of Jesus in the middle of profanity. It just makes me want to scream, you know. And sometimes I'll yell blasphemy. I mean, how could you do something like that? If you don't understand, you don't know, then keep your mouth closed because you're cursing yourself. Like Bishop would say, you're cussing out God. Watch yourself. But they do. And the songwriter say, on Christ the solid rock I stand. All of the ground is sinking sand. Anything else, you will fall. Jesus said you got to be like the man that built his house upon a rock. When the wind came and the waves and the water came, no matter how it beat up against it, that house did not fall because it was on a solid rock. Jesus is that solid rock. When you built on Jesus, trials will come and you will blow just like the wind. But because your roots are grounded in God, because guess what? Jesus said, I'm the living water. Still waters run deep. If you stand still, your roots are going to go all the way to the bottom in Jesus. Stand firm on his word. Sink in sand. Because the man, Jesus said, the man that built his house on sand, every time the water hit it, the sand began to come out from under the house until finally the house crumbled. You got to know your foundation that you're building on and stand on it. Your situation is your temporary status. Always remember that. I'm in a situation right now, but I'm standing on the word of God. That's your status. Don't ever forget that. It's not your stand. Your stand is on the word of God. On Christ the solid rock I stand. And it will never, ever lose its power. You stand on the blood of Jesus. If you got to plead the blood of Jesus in your going, if you got to plead the blood of Jesus in your coming, whatever the case may be, plead the blood of Jesus until your mind is saturated with the wisdom and knowledge of God and faith in God. Understand who you are in God. Faith is not a noun. A noun is the name of a person, place, people, or thing. It's not a noun. It's a verb. Understand that. Faith is not a noun. Tell somebody, faith is not a noun. It's a verb. Amen. It's an action word. What is a verb? An action word, right? All right, my scholars in here. It's a word that provokes movement. Hello? Moving forward. So in the midst of your standing still, you're still moving forward in God. Hello? In the midst of your standing still, don't mean you're sitting there, well, I'm just waiting on the Lord. No. Do something with what you got. Do something with the knowledge. God will meet you in your faith. He will meet you in it. I don't know if I can really do that, but I'm going to do it anyhow in the name of Jesus. Do it in the name of Jesus. I'm going to look for this job. I'm going out here on this interview. I don't have any faith that, or confidence that they, well, don't go. You wait until you get some faith to go. Stay on. Because you already lost the job when you left the house, right? Before you walked out the door, you already defeated yourself. When you just said, you walk, wake up with confidence, Lord, I thank you for watching over me for tonight. I thank you for this brand new day. I'm going out here and get this job. Hello. And I thank you for giving me favor. I'm getting to walk out there. And move in. And faith is an action word. It's a word that provokes movement. You got to move forward in it. If you say you have faith and you're standing still with no forward movement, then you have no evidence of faith. It's the evidence of things hoped for. Do it. You have a vision and a dream. If you don't ever do anything to make that vision happen, then why so hot in here? Bishop. Please. Yeah, Bishop. It's hot. That's why I put Bishop to sleep. It's so hot, isn't it? No, I don't actually have anything to say. I'm telling you, it's hot in here. Forward movement. Then you have no evidence of faith if you're standing still and not doing anything. If faith is present in your life, it travels, but it travels one way. In one direction, and that's forward. It doesn't back up, doesn't go side to side, but it travels forward. Faith does not stop, hello, but it keeps on moving. Faith goes forward spiritually, physically, financially forward. Faith does not back up, It don't walk sideways, glory to God, in doubt and wavering all the time. Oh, I don't know, maybe, maybe not. Oh, Lord, I hope so. But faith stands firm and to keep walking with confidence. I can do. I can do. I will do in Christ Jesus, because I can do all things through Christ who does what? Strengthens me. With faith, there's no need to look back, because God is your rearward. He got your back. God has your back, and you won't stumble nor fall, because God has a wall of angels all around you to keep you. Like the scripture says, lest you dash your foot against a stone. The angels are right there around you to keep you, but you got to walk in faith and in the knowledge and power of God. You can't think that you're going to go out there and do things that you weren't supposed to do, commit sin infractions and mess around with the devil's mess, and think that you're walking in faith. You're not. Faith keeps you in right standing with God, too. Hello? Hello? Faith keeps you holy, keeps you doing the things that you're supposed to do in God. So therefore, the hand of God will stay on you. But when you commit sin and walk away from God and walk away from the power of God, you have no covering. You walk back from under your covering. Faith keeps you under the umbrella, the protective arm of God. Lest you dash your foot against a stone. Keep the angels encamped about you. Glory to God. Men ought to always pray and not fall weak. Luke 18, we're studying from Luke 18, verses 41 to 48. I want you to read it later, because there's 48 verses in that chapter. But we just want to touch on it. Jesus was teaching parables during this chapter on faith. Verse 8, he says, nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith in the earth? When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith in the earth? Now listen, let's look at Luke 18 and see why he said that. And then later on, I'll read through the scripture. I'm going to touch on them a little bit. Verse 8. I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith in the earth? Now he was talking about the judge. He said, the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long, them long, long with, bear long with them? Here is this woman, in verse 8, she was facing the judge. And this judge was an atheist, if you back up a little further. And this is what prompted Jesus to say this. But this judge was an atheist. He didn't regard God. He had no regard for God. And then, like men either, he didn't have no respect for men or even this feared men. He didn't care. He was bad. He didn't care for nothing or nobody. But because the woman nagged him, she had a situation, and she nagged him constantly about it. You got to do it. You got to do it. You're the ruler of this country. It's wrong. They wronged me. You got to fix it. You got to take care of it. Every day she's knocking on the door. You got to fix it. They still didn't give me my stuff. They still didn't fix it. Whatever the case may be. She just knocked every day, all day long, all day long. You got to do something. You're the judge. You're the ruler. You got to do it. And she got on his nerves. She nagged him all the time. So he got up and said, you know what? Let me fix this situation before this woman drives me crazy. Faith says that I got to stay in the presence of God. I got to stay there until he do it. Hello? I asked him, and I know he's going to do it, but I ain't taking no chances. I'm going to talk to my Father every day. I'm going to praise him every day. I'm going to glorify him every day. I'm going to serve him. I'm going to be there. I'm going to give myself to him. I'm going to obey every law and every precept in the word. I'm going to worry him. Lord, my child. Lord, my child. Lord, my child. Lord, my child. Until he bring them on in. Hello? They say, I'm staying in the presence of God. And then somebody says, well, you know what? Your child did so and so and so and so. That's all right. The Lord got him in his hand. I'm not worried about a thing. I already gave it to the Lord. Lord, I thank you for working it out, my child. And you keep right on moving. Keep it moving. And you're still on your knees praising God, giving God praise, asking him, God, fix my child. God, heal my child. God, deliver my child. Faith says it may not happen tomorrow, the next day, the next year, the next 2 or 3 years, next 4 or 5 years, but it's going to happen. Faith says, I'm staying in the presence of God. I'm not going to give up. This lady didn't give up. She aggravated him, and Jesus used that parable not to say that you need to aggravate God all the time, but well, you're not aggravating him. You're just staying in his presence. And I believe that the more we stay in the presence of God, it's okay to ask him over and over, because guess what? You're there in his presence, and all you got to do is get in his presence, and things are beginning to happen. Huh? Now, after a while, you stop asking and you just stop praising. So because things are starting to happen, changes are starting. When the Spirit of the Lord comes on the scene, change has to come. Change will come. Your praise and your worship will be powerful now. And it'll be stronger now because you've been in the presence of God. You get to know God. You get a fellowship. You fall asleep glorifying him, and he began to speak to your spirit, man. He began to talk to you because you had so much fellowship with him today. Riding down the road, he starts talking to you. Or while you're at work, or while you're sitting at home, he starts speaking to you. Or while you're walking in the grocery store, he starts talking, because now y'all got a connection, and now you're learning how to hear the voice of God. All because that one child was so hard-headed and stiff-necked, and the more you pray, it looked like the worst they got, and you say, I'm not going to stop praying. Faith said, believe him. Stay there with God until he bring him in. Keep telling, Lord, that's my child. Lord, save my child. Lord, save my child. Lord, save my child. Keep right on. And after a while, you got such a relationship with God, so no matter what you're doing or wherever you are, you can hear the voice of God talking to you. Hello? Y'all got a relationship. And so anything happened, God said, get on the phone and call Bobby. You call him, Mom, why are you calling me? Can you come out of the house just for a minute? I'm busy. I'm in the middle of something. Just come out of the house. I need to tell you something. And while he was there by your house, he get a phone call from somebody and said, Bob, you know what? So-and-so just got shot up. They killed him. Y'all, when y'all was y'all supposed to be at such and such place? Yeah, but I told him to go ahead because my mama wanted me. You have a relationship with God that he ain't going to let harm come to your family. Glory to God. He'll quicken it to you and say, you need, all right, get up and pray right now. Your child need prayer. Hello? Your husband need prayer. Your wife need prayer. Your sister, your brother, get up and pray. You, because of the time you spend crying out for that one child that seems so forward and so wayward against everything that you're teaching, and you still stand in God's face, but you're not worrying him. You get in a relationship.
Amen.
Hello? So we don't worry God when we go to him over and over about a situation, because he already know. He already know the answer. He already know when he's going to answer. He already know the situation. We don't drive him crazy. It's impossible to drive God crazy with our constant inquiries, because we let him know, I know that can't nobody fix this but you. So not a lot of people don't go to God. They go first. God is the last person they go to. First, I'm mama, daddy, Uncle so-and-so, Auntie so-and-so, Miss Susan, my best friend, my workplace. We done tried everybody, the church, and they know ain't no money in the church because nobody put none in there. The church would be the last place you go. But we done tried everything and everybody, and nothing has worked out. And so, you know what, I might as well pray. I know I'm speaking to somebody. I done tried everything. I might as well just pray and believe God. So God can answer the thing when we should go to him first of all, because every time we go to a door, it's him closing it. Slam, 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 slam. All the doors were slamming in your face, and you don't even know it's God closing them. Hi, my mama, you see how she used to help me, and now she's pretending like she ain't got no money. Slam. God slammed that door because he wants you to come to him. Faith says, go to your father, your heavenly father. Jesus said, he already know what you have need of. So go to him. And so she went to the judge. God is your judge. Hello? He's your father. So we have to go to him. He wants us to go to him. Coming to him over and over helps us to have a better relationship with him. It causes us to have more of God and less of me. More of him and less of me. Hello? It is better to ask and believe instantly. But asking again and again and again till you see the manifestation, there's nothing wrong with that. If that's going to keep you in the presence of God, be my guest. Please ask every day, all day long. It's going to keep you out of the hands of the enemy, keep you in the presence of God. Do so. If he doesn't move for the sake of it, guess what? He'll move just for your sincerity and your consistency. You're constantly coming. Because after a while, you stop praying. Now you're praising. Because now you have a confidence in God now. Because why? You're closer now. And y'all talking about other stuff now. And you don't stop praying about Bob because you already know God got him. Now you're praying about Miss Susie down the street because you saw something going wrong in her house. And that relationship between you and God has grown because now you're praying for Bishop and Pastor because, yeah, they need help. Hello? And so your prayer life has expanded now. And now you're praying constantly for everybody while God is handling Bobby. Hello? And so you're not that drawn, you're not that timid person that you were when you first started praying, that one that's so withdrawn within yourself and not knowing what to say because all of your fellowship and your time with God has opened you up and released you, right? So in verses, that was verses 1 through 8. So in verses 9 through 14, he's teaching another parable on faith. He's talking about the proud Pharisee. This man saw himself, oh, you know what? You know, Pharisees are the holy people in them days. So they thought. But that's what they call themselves. So he saw himself all holy and righteous. He knew all the laws and the rules and stuff because they made them, most of them. They added God laws, but they added their own laws too. And so he knew all the laws and all the covenants and all the agreements and stuff. So they pretend like they were keeping the laws, and they wasn't. But because they were the Pharisees, that made them the holy people. So he's down there praying. He's standing up praying while the publican, who's the money changer, he knew that he was a sinner. He knew that he was like loan sharking or whatever it is, or taking the people for their money. He knew that. So he didn't try to cover up what he was doing. But they now, both of them down there praying. So Jesus said, now listen, both of them are praying. And this Pharisee said, Lord, you know what? I'm sure I'm glad I ain't like that old sinner down there. Look at him, snobbing and foaming at the mouth, crying, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Was he not, now, I'm paraphrasing. He didn't say that. Mm-hmm. Knowing he must have did something. They don't tell him what he did. You know, probably was drunk or something or been over to the Santa house. I don't know what he did. But I'm so glad, you know, I'm the preacher. Hello. And I'm anointed by God. Good. You know, God bless me. And so I haven't done what he did, thank God. You know, I'm not as low as he is, so, you know, but I keep all the laws and stuff, and, I'm a good man. Meanwhile, the publican down here crying out, snot foaming from his mouth and spitting everything. Lord, please save me. I'm a sinner. I'm a wretch. I'm done. I've done people wrong. I slept with Miss Sally. I slept with Uncle Bubba and all these other people, and I used dope, and I lied, and I stole from my grandma. He's just going on and on and on about all this stuff he did, and he said, God, please save me. I'm a wretch. I'm done. He crying out for salvation and deliverance while the publican with his head up in the air, there ain't none of me. And Jesus said the one that was down there, Pharisee, the one that was down there, the publican, was holier, more righteous than this Pharisee with his holy self, holier than thou. Faith says, I'm a wretch undone. Lord, I need you to clean me up. I need you to help me walk upright. I don't talk right. People make me mad. I'm liable to cuss them out. Not me, thank God. But this is your mind. You're going and you're talking to God. Hello? I keep thinking about Sally. Ooh, she fine. I need you to clean my mind up, Lord. Hello? I keep thinking about robbing somebody. I keep thinking about that dope and I was high the other day. I keep thinking about all this evil stuff and I went out with Bob last night and we did terrible things. And Lord, I need you to help me. A real, real faith. Person would say, Lord, I'm a wretch, I'm done. I can't be holy in myself. I need you. David said, Lord, you know my thoughts are far off. You know, in other words, you know the thought before I even think it. You know that my thoughts ain't nothing but dirt here. Because Paul said, in our flesh dwelleth no good thing. So you know my thoughts are far. He said, you know my uprising, my down. You know when I get up. You know when I go to bed. No matter what. If I go to the uttermost parts of the earth, you there. If I make my bed in hell, you there. Where can I go from you? So he asked him, he said, you created me a clean heart. You renewed the right mind and the right spirit on the inside of me. Now, a publican who really wants to be saved, a sinner that really wants to be saved, will cry out to God. Faith says, you know you ain't nothing but a mess. The wretched person that you are. I don't care what seminary school you went to. You're still a wretched person. You need to fall down on your knees and repent. Hello. I don't care if you're a pope. You're still a wretched person. Get down on your knees and repent. Hello. Faith said, God, I know I'm nothing, but you are all things and everything. So we repent. So So Jesus says, faith is like that. It's like, you know, when you know that you've done wrong, you don't walk around here with your head up in the air just because you got 2 degrees, 3 degrees, or 4 degrees in theology, bibliology, and iology, and myology, and all that other stuff. And now you're better and bigger than God. You're holier than you're the holiest person there is. You don't need to bow down on your knees. I even had a preacher say to us one time, you know what, I don't need to pray no more. God still use me. Okay. I just backed up a little bit, and just in case lightning was to strike over there, I didn't want to get caught up in that. But I began to tell him, I said, listen, you're going to always have to pray. You have to be careful of them spirits, because the devil is an imitator. Hello. And he can stir up some spirits, and you think you're moving in the power of God, and you're moving with them demons and them imps. Hello. So you got to be careful. You always got to pray. You always have to stay before God. Jesus did, and you telling me you ain't got to pray no more. And you're a preacher of God's people. I'm praying for them folks sitting up under you. Because the truth be told, we all have to stay on our knees before the Lord. The publican, he was a humble man. He knew that he was a shyster and a beater of the people. He didn't try to sweeten it up. Remember how Nathan came to David, and David always said, yeah, no, I always talk about David. I love that man. Because he had a heart for God. Amen. And he, when he came to him, he never said, no, I ain't me. What are you talking about? You know how we do. You say something to someone, that ain't me. Hello. You know, you ain't going to say, yeah, that's me. y'all know that. But he never said, he said, you know what? He just fell down on his face and God knows everything. He knows everything. And if he sent you to tell me that, I know it was God, because God wasn't there. Nobody wasn't there when I did it. You weren't there. You was like miles and miles away. So had to be God right there. So let you know, even when you're doing bad things, God is right there. God was right there when he went and got Bathsheba. He was right there when he had her, and when he took her husband and put him on the front line. God was there right there looking. I don't believe this guy. Hello? Watching him do this stuff. We have to understand that no matter what it is, even the thoughts that we think in our mind, God already knows them. So I tell people all the time, it's how you entertain that thought. It don't say that it's not going to come. It's going to come to you, but you better shake it off when it gets there. Shake it off. Plead the blood of Jesus over your mind. Rebuke the devil. You know, she don't even like you. You're the one she's talking about. The devil is alive. Rebuke that spirit in the name of Jesus. People be looking at you like, what in the world? But you keep on rebuking it, because see, that's your mind he's messing with. Not the person next to you. You got to say, Jesus, 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 Jesus. Because first they say, what's she sitting by me for? I can't stand Jesus. Jesus, 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 Jesus. They think you're in the spirit. You're trying to keep your mind so you don't, you know. So the enemy don't put stuff in your spirit. Because he will. He will fill you up with spirit. And then now you got somebody sitting next to you trying to preach your mind. And you're trying to hear the preacher. Okay. Would you please be quiet? You want to make sure the next time you don't sit next to him or her with their talking selves. Amen. If we confess our faults, God is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Jesus said that the publican was more righteous than the Pharisee, who was supposed to be a holy man in his own rights, in his own way. You know, some people hold in their own rights. Faith, fellowship, and closeness with God will help us to see ourselves in the right light to who we really are. It keeps pride from keeping us from walking in faith with God. I heard one person say one time, well, you know, I'm basically a pretty good person. I don't smoke, I don't drink, and this and that and the other, and I really don't need to go to church. Hello? Jesus said, you're either with me or against me. If you don't need me, then you're against me. No, I'm not. Well, you don't need him. You're basically a good person, because he told the young man that there's none good but the Father. When he called him good, Jesus himself said, I'm not even good, and he was without sin or guile. So how could us without sinful selves, our dirty thinking rotten selves, say I'm basically a good person? Yeah, right. Tell that to somebody else who don't know. Because the Bible said pride cometh before the fall. So verses 16 and 17, Jesus teaches another parable about the little children when he said that except you come like a little child, because the kids were coming around him. And they were just trying to run them away. He said, no, some of the children come to me. He said, these are the kingdom of heaven. Except you come to God and be like this little child. What is he talking about? A little child is so gullible. Well, they used to be. I don't know the kids today. Whoa. That means a lot to be desired. Some of them kids are terrible. But you know what? I blame the parents. Hello. I blame the parents. Because it's how you raise your children. It really is. You raise up a bad little child and you get hit, as you say, you know, ouch. Just say ouch and repent and train that child up the way the Bible told you to train him up. People think when the Bible said train the child up the way he should go, it means just bring him to church, you know, and read the word to him. But how are you going to bring him to church and you have not taught him any manners? You haven't taught him respect. He talked back to grown-ups. He talk and run and play and tear up the church while he's in church. Come on, I mean, babies are going to be babies, but after a while, when you bring them enough and teach them enough, they'll learn. Hello. And then when they learn, they'll be still. But you got to come like a little child, okay, the ones that are humble. Let me see. The one-year-olds, let's stay with the babies and the one-year-olds. Some of them two-year-olds, I can put me a licking on them, too. I can get me a switch for them. Twos, the terrible twos. So let's say the one-year-olds. Except you come like a little child. Because they can't do nothing for themselves. Everything, water, bottle, pee-pee, boo-boo, whatever. Nothing, everything. I want my train, car. I want to eat food. Everything they count on you. And they don't expect a no. Unless they're doing something bad. Because then now they look at you just like you with God. Looking, peeping out the corner of their eyes to see if you're looking at them because they're about to do something bad. Stop peeping out the corner of your eyes because guess what? God saw you before you even did it. Saw you on your way to do it. And so we have to be, what are you talking about, being humble as a little child, so accepting, so loving, and so kind. Children are so sweet and so kind. They have to be taught to be mean. They have to be taught to be mean. Well, I don't know. The mean little children out there. Yeah. It kind of make you think. What kids are today, you know, kind of make you rethink this. But some of them are. Some of them are so mean and so hateful and so selfish till if you don't stop them and train them right, that's what's called training a child up the way he should do. Tell him to share. Tell him to say yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am, please, and thank you. Hello? Tell them to not talk back to adults. Tell them that cussing is bad. It ain't funny, and it ain't cute. Hello? And dancing the Y2C is provocative, and if you want your child to be raped, let them keep right on slinging themselves around, and that's when God going to deal with you. Because he said, train a child up in the way that they should go, and don't let it depart from them. So he began to tell them, faith opens the door for us to really receive God and trust him if we come humbly as a little child. When you got the faith of a little child that I know that I can't eat unless I go to mom and dad, daddy, I'm hungry, mom, I'm hungry. I want my bottle. Or cry because I'm with it. Sometimes you cry before God. Hello? You may not know what to say. You lay down and go, I do it sometimes. I just be crying. And I get up and blow my nose, and I'm good. God already know what I was talking about. Hello? But if you come as humble, I need my daddy. I need my mama. I can't do nothing without them. Faith says I'm going to come to my father that way. Nobody can help me but my father. Verses 18 to 30, Jesus teaches another parable about the rich young ruler. I touched on that earlier. A wealthy young man who sees himself as good even from a child. He says, what Jesus said? He said, good master, how can I inherit the kingdom of heaven? He said, well, you got to do the commandments, you know, honor thy father and mother, thou shalt have love of God before me, just going on with the commandments. He said, well, I've been keeping them since I was a child. You know, what are you talking about? I'm good. I've been keeping them all my life is basically what he's saying. He tried to flatter Jesus. First of all, he messed up when he said, good master. But Jesus already knew he was coming for something. Now he's trying to con me. He said, why are you calling me good? There's nothing good but the Father. Well, what am I doing to inherit the kingdom? Okay. You know the rules. You know the laws of God. Oh, I've been keeping them since I was a child. Okay, good for you. But I got something against you. There's one thing wrong with you. We already knew what was wrong with you. Well, what's that? Still all that good you got. The nice car you're driving in. Your house, that big fine house you live in. Take your bank account and divvy it up between all the poor people. Get rid of everything you own, all them fine clothes you got in all three of them closets. Then come and follow me. Give it to everybody. Give all that to the poor. That young man dropped his head and walked away. This ain't finna happen. He kept right on walking because he wasn't about to do that. Jesus had a word for him. He did all the things that he thought he did right, but he still fell short. The one thing that he could not do, and that was apart from his money, and a lot of Christians are the same way today. They cannot pop their money. I give you my time. Hello. This man had a strong love for money. And some Christians do. They'll give God everything, but they won't give him their money. This rich man missed the kingdom of God because he couldn't part from his wealth. And guess what? When he died, he probably died a little bit after that, but when he dies, who do you think took the riches? Do you think they went in the grave with him? I don't think so. You think he's living up in heaven with his riches or in hell, burning in hell with his riches? That ain't happening. Somebody else took those riches. Why are you so covetous of something that you're going to lose anyway on this side? We're not here to stay. We're just sojourners. We're on our journey through this land. And so Jesus said, occupy till I come. Enjoy the things of the world, but don't let them have you. Be in the world, but don't be of the world. Enjoy that Cadillac, but don't be so caught up in that Cadillac that you miss me, that if I tell you to go sell it and give the money to the poor, you won't do it. Hello? In that big, fine, five-bedroom house that you live in, I tell you to go sell it, get a downsize, a small place, or turn it over into a home for unwed mothers. And you won't do that. Don't be so caught up in your possessions here on the earth, because we're going to pass away. We're going to leave this earth. And I don't want to be standing before the Lord. He said, depart from me, you work iniquity. I won't have that on my soul. That ain't going to happen to me. I don't know about you, but I'm concerned and worried about my soul. Amen? When you have faith, you have no problem believing the word that the Lord spoke concerning his death, burial, and resurrection. When he was talking to them in 31 and 33, this 31, he says, then he took unto him, what time it is, the 12, and he said unto them, behold, we go to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished. In other words, he said, it's coming to be my time now. And he shall be delivered unto the Gentiles and shall be mocked and spitefully entreated and spitted on. And they shall scourge him and put him to death. And the third day he shall rise again. But listen to what the scripture says. And they understood none of these things. And the saying was hid from them. Neither knew they the things which were spoken. And all this time they walked with him and they still didn't know him. Isn't that something? There are people that have been in the house of God 30, 40, 50 years and still don't know God. Sing like the angels. Preach like Paul. Hello? Have the power of Peter casting out demons, but they still don't know God. These guys walked with God. They walked in the power of God. They've seen him in action. They've seen him stretch withered hands out and open blind eyes. They saw him walking on water. They seen him. They saw him when he called Lazarus from the grave, when he raised up the centurion soldier's daughter. They saw all of this stuff. They saw Jesus moving by the power of God, but they still didn't get what he was talking about. And he told them, he ministered to them that this day was going to happen. They lost it. What in the world is he talking about? What is he talking? No, this ain't gonna happen. Don't miss God. Don't spend your life in church and still don't have a relationship with God. Faith gets you into relationship with God. Faith says, this is my prayer time. I don't care. Well, we going to the mall. Y'all go head on. Right now it's my time with God. Faith says your prayer time is you and God. Your study time is you and God. Your church time is you and God. You know, this is going to come on TV tonight. You know what time to get out of church. I don't care if I need to see it recorded. It'll be a rerun. I catch it on the rerun. I'm going to church. You know how y'all do when scandal come on. Hello. When Jesus spoke to them about his death, about his burial and his resurrection, and all that time they spent with him, they didn't know. So verses 34 and 43, Jesus teaches the parable of the blind man. Because even in blindness, faith is going to let you know when Jesus come on the scene. This man has asked them what's going on. There was a crowd and there was a noise. He couldn't see. He said, what's going on? They said, Jesus is coming through the crowd. And when he felt the presence of Jesus, he started yelling, Jesus, son of David. They tried to hush him. Move. Jesus, that's where you got to be about God. He was like, should I sit down? He said, no, glory. Hallelujah. Somebody sit down. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. They don't know your story. They don't know your praise. They don't know what you've been through. They don't know where you are right now. So when you got to praise him, I walked through this journey praising God. I used to be so into when I'm praising God before I was pastoring, when I was in the Lord, like you guys, before I even started ministering. Man, they had to almost pick me up and carry me out of church. The pastor used to get in when they put me in my car and pray me down because I'd be so in the spirit because I'm praising God. I mean, really, I couldn't stop because I was going through it. I mean, when I first got in the Lord, I was in some rough times in my life, hard times. Bishop was saved, and that was one difficult time. Hello? And it was rough. Times were struggling. We had hardships, and he was getting on my last nerve, and it was just a hard thing to serve God with all this stuff going on. And when I went to church, I'd get out of my way. Our babies, I used to sit on the front row because I wanted to be in the fire. Until I was in somebody's seat, and then I discovered I was in somebody's seat, so I had to move to the back row. But in some churches, you don't sit in people's seats. But I didn't want to be there. And the pastor told him to leave me alone. So I was like, I want to be up front. But I sat in the back row. My kids, I lined them up right there. And the only time they move is when the praise go on because they dance. They would dance and shout all over the church. All the kids back in those days. See, we were in the days with kids like this one and like that other baby that used to shout. Our kids came up in the day when they shouted. I mean, really shout. They weren't playing. They were really shouting. They shout till they fall out in the spirit in the church. So when I get my shout on, I didn't have a problem. If they weren't in the spirit, they'd sit right there and watch. Because I had to get my way through. I had to praise my way through. And don't let nobody stop you from praising, glorifying God. The only protocol is to give God glory. I'm not going to interrupt your praise. Hello, you ain't praising me and the church don't belong to me. Bishop ain't going to interrupt your praise. The only protocol in the house of God is to give God glory. God comes in our praises. He said he'll inhabit the praises of his people, and that means to live in them. So the more you praise God, the more his presence is on the scene, and we need God. I need his presence. I can't tell you the knowledge and the wisdom of God and the things of God without his knowledge. I can read this Bible through and through, and all my college degrees and going to school don't give me what the Holy Spirit gives me. I need the praise. You need the power of God. The power of God follows the word of God, the anointing, the signs and wonders. You need a sign. You need him to move in power in your life. So you need to praise and worship him. We ain't got time for that other nonsense. We came to worship the Lord. So you come to Bible study. You come to Sunday school. You pick up your Bible through the weekdays and read your Bible. And if you come to Sunday worship and the Spirit of the Lord is too high and the preacher didn't get a chance to preach, you better get in that praise or you about to miss God. Hello, if God got the praise going through the house and his power is moving in the house, you better get in that praise because the praises bring forth the power. And when God come on the scene, guess what? He's going to do exactly what he came for. Deliverance is coming. Healing is coming. You don't need nobody laying hands on you because once you get into a praise, you can praise yourself out of a situation. And don't wait till it happens. Start praising him even before you get the victory. Start right then. Amen. In faith, we have intimacy with God. And this is the most important thing in our lives because this determines our destiny. The time we spend with God, the intimacy that we, intimacy is spending that time, that emotional time, that conversation time, that love time with God. This that determines our destiny. Faith will make you obedient to God and no worries for the rest of your life. I believe God. Well, look, not the way I see it, because what I believe, when people have that right there, I heard, but I believe God. And by the way, lose my number. Hello? Because you don't have nothing encouraging to say, and you ain't helping me a bit, so lose my number. I ain't being mean. I love you. I'm going to keep praying for you, but don't call me no more. You don't need that. Some people you have to be blunt with. Baby, I love you. I'll pray for you, but don't call me no more. That's not the kind of voice you need to hear. When you're going through, you need somebody that's going to elevate your faith and edify you in God. You don't need that bring down, brought down attitude. Faith will make you obedient. It'll make you understand that you have no worries. And no matter what the storm in God's word, the storm is, God's word will be your anchor, and he'll move so quickly that no matter what happens, because of your trust, you believe that he has the ability to fix the thing that you're going through and nobody else but him. So you stand firm on his word. You're not listening to nonsense. Faith makes us aware that we are in the presence of God, and it gets us fired up and ready to go to work, ready to do the will of the Father, ready to witness. My life is a witness. Well, you know what? You got evicted. I'm still glorifying God. You don't have anywhere to stay, but that's all right. God is going to make a place for me. When more I glorify, you know what? You need the Lord in your life. Well, why are we talking about me? You the one got a problem, but you got a problem. You're not saved. I don't have a problem. I'm saved. See what faith tells you? Faith, you have to get you out of yourself. I don't have a place to stay. You're not saved. Which is more important? Hello? So faith tells me that I need to introduce you to God. And if I faint and cry and spit and foam at the mouth and commit suicide because I don't have a house now, you won't even know God. I just lost the opportunity to witness to you of who God is. So I tell you, brother, let's sit down and talk. Let me tell you about this Lord I serve. What? Is that all your stuff piled upside the road over there? You want me to help you move it? No, don't worry about that. It'll be all right. And if it don't, I'll just take what I can. But there's a God that sits high and looks low. And this man looking at you like this. She out of her mind. But by the time you get done and God gets through with you, you will have won a soul for Christ. And not only because of the words that you spoke, but because of the attitude behind what had happened to you. Faith says, I trust God. Not my circumstance and not my situation. Faith makes us aware that we're in the presence of God. It keeps us going. It brings, help us bring people to the knowledge of God. Can you trust God for real? Can you trust God? This is something we need to get up and ask ourselves every day. Am I really trusting God for this situation that's going on in my life? And there's always something going on in our life. Am I really trusting God? Hello? And finally, when you have faith in God, you don't have to understand his will. We are trying to pick God's brain. I don't know why the Lord's doing this. And why is it his will to do this? And I don't know why it's happening. You ain't got to understand it. Just do it. Well, why the Lord telling me? Why? This is my grandson. And grandma, can I do so-and-so here? 2 years old. Ain't 3 yet. No, you can't. But why? Why? Because I said you can't do it. But why? So now I got to explain to him, well, because if you did, you'll fall and hurt yourself. And grandma don't want you to hurt yourself. Okay. Then he walk off. Go do his thing. But he got to know why. And so we're doing this with God. That's what I say about them babies. Yeah, right. Do this. But why, Daddy? Don't ask me why. You will not always know God's will. But do what he tells you to do. You don't have to know his reasons for telling you to do it. Just do it. We don't have to question and be so inquisitive when it comes to God. Just say, I see that the Lord is prompting me to do so-and-so, so do it. Believe it. You reap what you sow, or you receive repayment from your giving. If you sow well, faith will have you give with a glad heart. You'll give sparingly. You'll reap bountifully and abundantly. If the return is slow coming, faith says to you, don't sweat the small stuff. Hello? Still giving my tithe, still giving my offering, still coming to Sunday school, still coming to Bible study, still coming to church. Hello? Faith says, don't sweat the small stuff. That ain't my business. That's God's business. When you turn something over to him, faith says, leave it alone. Your return comes late. You become overjoyed anyhow. You give him blessings. You praise him. You glorify him. Therefore, your bucket will run over and over and over. Why? Because even in the midst of my wanting to receive, I'm giving. Because the Bible said, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall who? Men, give unto your bosom. People will give to you on every hand. You have to say, well, yeah, I gave my tithes. And people give tithes. And let me tell you something. People put $200 in tithes in the basket. You know they want $2,000 back? How about 2,000 souls? Y'all sleep? Huh? How about 2,000 family members being saved? Miracle healing and blessing for your family member that's sick. How about that? Miracle healing and blessing for you that's sick. How about that? It won't always come back in money because money answers all things, but guess what? The love of it is the root of all evil. So God already knows when Jesus said, your heavenly Father know you need money, he'll make sure you get it. But you're going to have to use it wisely. And some Christians, I have to say this, some Christians, the money that God blessed them with, they are not good stewards over it, so they always need money. And the reason they need money is because when God gave them the money to pay the light bill, they went and bought a new dress. Hello. And gave half their tithe. Oh, I forgot about my tithe. Oh, I got $20. Let me put that on the tithe down below. You just lied to God. Because you know that's not even 10% of what you made, not even 5% of what you made this week. It's obedience, it is. Receiving from God. We got to be obedient to God if we expect him to bless us, if we expect him to give us a close walk with him. Faith says, I just want to be in the presence of the living God. So whatever it takes for me to be with God, that's what I'm going to do. We were talking at a meeting the other night. I'm closing here. And it was an elderly lady that spoke. And she was speaking, and I'm telling you, she was just on point with everything she was saying. And I know I'm elderly, but she's elderlier than me. I'm an elder. She's elderly. And she's like, I guess, about 80-some years old, Bishop, maybe something like that. But she had a good word for now. And not just, it was old school, but it was for now, too, as well. And we just was discussing afterwards how they're not into God the way people were back then. And so that's just the Bible being fulfilled, and that's why people need to start seeking the Lord even the more now, because you're seeing the Bible be unfold. You're seeing things happen. There is a great falling away from the church, and we worry and we get upset.